Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if we all stand up.
Can hear me, didn't get a sound check or nothing like that. I'm using Washichu toys and, you know, so things don't work as fast as they do. So I'm just assuming you can hear me. And for that reason, I'm going to say hello. Good evening. Blessings to all of you. And a shout out to all our listeners all around the world, all around Turtle Island, and all the people, all the different races, cultures that tune into us. And I thank you for being there. Of course, there's a lot of things that I wanted to discuss with everybody. I'm still waiting for my screen to pop up. But the thing is, they just killed a woman in Rapid City, the cops, you know, real hush-hush. I mean, I looked on the internet. All I know is her name was Abby, because that was on Facebook. But on the police, the journal, they don't have her name, and they made it sound like, you know. First of all, they said she was driving down the street, and I guess cops wanted to pull her over for looking shabby, the car looking, you know, like it was, you know, like probably taillights or some excuse to stop an Indian and somebody. Anyway, she was driving slow. She slowed down and stopped. Some guy bailed out and hauled ass. She kept going. They said she threw something out the window. They don't know what it is. Anyway, they came and tried to stop her. She wasn't going fast. She was driving down little streets in Rapid City. I mean, little streets, you know. It wasn't like she was on the interstate or some main boulevard in the city. So yeah, she's probably doing about 30 miles an hour, but the cop's trying to do a pit maneuver on her, you know. Anyway, it didn't work, and the cop got out, and they said, she aimed the car at her, so the cop fired several rounds at her. But all the bullets went in to the driver's side and came straight out the passenger side, busted out passenger side. If she was aiming to him, why not the windshields, you know? And if he got out of the way, why'd he even shoot? It was a woman. She just, from what I understand, she just had a baby 3 weeks ago. Maybe somebody knows, has more information on that story, and we got 2 hours here, so I'll try and get in on that. But you know, like I said, they kill a black person, everybody runs around and Black Lives Matter, even Indians aim and stuff over there in Minnesota and all that, everybody's all. But when an Indian gets blast it, you don't hear a peep. Not a peep. Anyway, we'll go a little further. Wanted to talk about one thing, I was looking at a post Tariq Esford did. He was on a radio show last week, Palestinian guy. And he said, all the praise, you know, all the about Russia and Ukraine and the poor Ukrainians and all that, but they ain't saying nothing about Israel's recent bombings of Palestinians. Remember, Palestinians don't even barely have weapons. They don't have nothing, slingshots. But with that being said, before we go a little further, and I wanted to talk about, you know, many reactions to simple man's creation, you know. And Tanashi.
Yeah.
Is everything tight over there?
What's that?
I said, is everything tight? I said, is everything tight over there?
Yeah, tighter now.
All right, you let go.
Yeah, because if you're going to talk, he's gonna open the door.
Yeah, everything's a twink over here.
We
all keep it that way over here.
How they slip in and hack your website if you're so twinked?
What's the name? That's the thing. I let the guard down just for a little bit, and they did that. You know,
I'm just trying to pay you back for what you did to me last week on public radio here. You know, talking about no wonder why you keep going back to the hospital. Yeah, you got me good on that one. All week long I've been on that one. You know, it just hung in me like a hook, you know. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's, you know, I'm bragging you up. That's what that is, man. It's you know, I'm not trying to get money or anything. I'm just trying to brag you up. That's what that was all about.
Yeah. That I wanted. That.
He really wanted.
Yeah.
Actually, Larry said, yeah, that's it. You know, we're trying to brag you up over here.
I should be proud of that.
Yeah, that's a compliment.
I should be proud of being a fine motor scooter at my age, you know.
There you go, man.
All right. Well, before we go any further, let me clear. We better clean up some minds here, and you can go ahead and lead us off here.
No, well, we'll get we're gonna say a prayer and then we'll get started. You know this. I woke you astaste. I grew in your piahoich chapel. Look, Dexter, Trunkashla, Hunkwaki, Kapsetil, and a good Trunkashl, Yohila Trunkashl. We chose only two Nikila Poko. Okay, we are Piet Trunkashla. Tell me, Tashan Unshi Kapel, how me Takias?
Takuyasi. Tashi, I'm glad, you know, that you pray. And I was thinking about our prayers of how we pray. A lot for we chose honey, you know, for health.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other day I put a post, you know, mainly because people complain about smokers and secondhand smoke, how smokers are really arrogant and they don't, you know, they don't care about people when they fire up a cigarette. And I was sitting in the arbor at Sundance. So what do we do at Sundance? We pray for we chose on E and everything. And here's people right around me firing up cigarettes right there in the arbor, you know? And they don't care about that secondhand smoke they're blowing all over you, you know? And it cracks me up how even that, you know, you go to hospital, tribal office or whatever, they say no smoking in the building, but right out the door, they got ashtrays, and their workers step right out the door and start puffing away. And when they're puffing away, here you go. You're coming out. You got to breathe all their smoke and everything going. So you got to take a deep breath and bust through it. And they're out there, you know, visiting and laughing. They don't even have no respect. Or even don't even realize the damage they're doing. They do it in front of kids and everybody. But what gets me is like in our prayers, we pray for we chose on him. And several times, you know, in our prayers, we even sing about this, our songs, you know. So I wonder why these smokers get so are so blind and disrespectful of where they fire up their cigarettes at. Why don't they go someplace else, fire them up, and everybody go over there where nobody's at? Don't just step out the door. How low class is that? You know, and I'm talking about everybody, women included. You know, they have no shame in their smoking habits. I don't care if they smoke. They can whip out a cancer stick anytime they want. I know a lot of people smoke. I don't care. Go ahead and smoke away. But I'm just saying, you know, plus there's a big argument of whether cigarettes cause cancer or what. I do know one thing about cigarettes. They, you know, because I smoked before. And I know one thing. They affect your breathing, your blood pressure, and everything else. You know, I'm glad I quit a long time ago. And, you know, so I don't, but I know a lot of people that smoke. I know people that die of cancer smoking. I know people smoking, you know, had triple heart surgery and still smoking. You know, they can do what they want, but I'm just saying, why do they do it in front of people? So I'm just hoping that they get the word where you smoke at. Don't go step right out the door.
You know, this what you're talking about. Think about how the Washita targeted Native Americans. See, at one time, that was something like over New York, these places that grow tobacco, and they sell it. Those people over there sell it, you know what I mean? But how you put all these chemicals in there to get people addicted, they hit the reservations pretty hard. You know, I remember when, you probably remember too, like all our grandfathers and stuff, they all had Bull Durham. It was the thing to do, you know what I mean? No matter where you went, even inside the tribal building, everywhere. But they pushed it hard on the Indians, and that's kind of a carryover. What you're talking about is the reservations. And like now, these cities, these towns, like some places, they don't sell menthol cigarettes, flavored cigarettes, because they say it's targeting certain class of people. So they're in San Francisco and some areas, they quit selling flavored tobacco because they say it's mostly sold in poor people areas or minority areas. Like these rich white people and stuff, you don't find tobacco shops on every corner. But you go to these ghettos, it's sold everywhere, see? And they said that menthol was kind of like targeting kids. Now, like this vape is another thing, see? They're targeting the younger generation to keep that money flowing into the tobacco companies, see? They're using this vape. It's not harmful.
Now we took it in two directions. One direction, Indians are smoking. But the direction I started in is they can smoke all they want. I don't care.
Yeah.
But why are they doing it in front of the hospital? Why are they doing it at Sundance? Why are they doing it around? That's what I'm talking about. They can go buy it. We can blame the whole government and everything why they got cigarettes. But don't they got a brain and respect enough not to do it around people, around children and stuff? Because when you don't smoke, and you smell that cigarette, man, that smells bad. And when you breathe it's worse. And when you go to Sundances, you know, like us, we use Chinchasa, but a lot of Sundances, they come give you the Chanupa, fire it up in there, it's full of tobacco, you know?
Yeah.
And you say, wow, you know, I don't even smoke no more, and here this guy's giving me a tobacco full of cancer, Chanupa full of cancer. You know, or whatever you want to call it. I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is disrespecting others with your bad habits. And, of course, you got your bad habit because of Washita. Yeah, of course you did. Of course they sell
it. I was gonna say, like some of these sweat lodges and places where they use this commercial tobacco, see, in these pipes. And so it's kind of like, you know, it's everywhere, you know, and like I say, they're trying to do away with it. I mean, the way it is now, you know, there's a lot of people against it. But think about how long ago that started, Tanshi. It wasn't too long ago, see. So they're working that way where everybody's quitting, you know. But the tobacco companies, like I say, look at Winston. Whenever they found out that they were lying about that, so they shut all those races. Man, they were making bank, tobacco companies, you know. And now it's kind of people are starting to fight back on it and saying, you know, like you were saying. But at a hospital, I could see what you're saying. You know, you come out of the area, and then you're coming out of a hospital, but, you know, they're smoking right outside, you know.
That's the rule.
Yeah, and then, but that's, you know, that's the rule. That's how it's set up, see.
They're allowed to do
that. Yeah. See,
but
then
see,
they shouldn't
I
be allowed
care.
To do that,
I don't,
but they do.
I don't care if somebody smokes. See, that's my point. If you want to smoke, like you said, my grandma, lots of people smoke. Go ahead and smoke.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping on you for smoking. I'm just saying, when
in
you
public.
Have control of where you do it, why you impose it on children and people that don't smoke? That's what I'm talking about.
No,
you can smoke, and then you can bitch about why you smoke. But you got enough brains to know, don't jump in my car and fire up a cigarette, because I'll boot you out my car. Don't come in my house and fire up, because I'll boot you out my house. Because I don't like cigarette smoke. And the reason why I brought this up was because I know I ain't the only one. Some people, I've seen some posts of people saying, well, like one guy moved out of his house, and he didn't even have a house. He moved in with some people, and he appreciated them. But he moved out of there because they were smoking, and he don't smoke. So he went back to square one where he's, you know, and he's got a problem finding a house or what that. But the point is, you know, like at Sundance, I'm sitting there in the arbor. I'm an old guy and can't get up and be moving around like everybody else. And here, this whole crew next to me, that's firing up cigarettes and smoking away.
Yeah.
You know, we're at Sundance for we chose on thee, right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
yeah,
what the
I
hell
understand
are they doing
what you're
there,
saying.
Yeah.
See, where we're at, Tanshi, they cut that out, that smoking under the arbor. They don't let them do that no more. There's a designated area, see? And I mean, that's, you know, I could understand what you're saying, like underneath that arbor, you know. But there is a lot of them that still, like I say, that still do it, you know.
From the arbor. That's like drinking, to me, that's like smoking anything, drinking or whatever, away from the arbor. It's cool. But still, they got to go in that circle, and they're praying for we chose on thee. What the hell?
That's the thing.
I'm not going to be so weak that I'll condone it for this person, and I'll condone it for that person. You know, I'm telling everybody that's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It is. Because if you go to Sundance, then don't smoke. You're praying for what we chose on thee. That's being hypocritical as all hell. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up, and anybody can say what they want. But that's my harsh feelings on it. And like some old guy said last week, he said, I talk shit. Well, good. You know, and I talk shit when I don't like something. And one thing I don't like is when people bring that around me, you know, and right there in my face. Some guys think they're cool. You ever see these guys? they come right up on you and they smoke a cigarette. They know you don't smoke. So what do? They take a toke of that cigarette and they blow it out the corner of their mouth and blow it the other way. You ever see that? Cooler than now. Yeah. You know, he don't want to disrespect you, so he blows a cigarette out to the left, you know. He got a little bit of respect, this guy, you know.
Yeah.
But most people will just blow it in their face, you know, and just they don't even care what you think. And they're at Sundance. And you know, it makes me be careful where I sit at Sundance. Sometimes, you know, I go look for a place and I'll sit and here they come. Chairs up, sitting around me. I don't mind it. Then all of a sudden, firing up cigarettes, you know, and I'm stuck in there. I didn't ask for that.
It's kind of
driving me away from Sundances, you know, and I go to Sundance to pray. But if they're praying and smoking and doping at the same time, what the hell I need to be there for? You know, yeah. What the hell's wrong with that Sundance, you know? And even Junebug told me, Junebug said it. He commented on his post. He says he don't like it either. They come over smoking even cigarette butt all over the Sacred Arbor there, you know. He don't like it either. You know, and I'm glad he don't like it because he's in a position to change that. And he probably will, you know, hopefully, you know. And, you know, sometimes we got to be strong and say, no, it's not allowed. No, you know, come to the Sundance where we chose, honey. And if you come through that door, all your bad habits stay on the other side. That's the way it needs to be. But is it going to be that way? I doubt it. I think it's getting weaker and weaker as we go.
And maybe hopefully the next generation. That's the thing. See, that's what we're working at. But it looks kind of bleak. Huh? See, we talked about this. See, the way things are going, it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, we discussed this. You know that. Look at all this next generation. You know, coming up. You talked about that. Look at these mothers. Look at these grandmothers. Rings in their nose, blonde hair, I mean, color in their hair. You know, these are grandmas you're talking about. You know.
Sabotaging our culture. That ghetto music and all of this baloney out there is sabotaging our culture, sabotaging our traditions, sabotaging our spirituality, sabotaging our way of life. But people don't look at it as that.
Yeah, then when you say something about it, they have a big following. They have all these people that, so they kind of condemn you for it. See, that's the thing that's happening back home. See, it's they're all cliquish. These people back home are all cliquish, and if you say something, they'll all turn against you. You know, for making one comment. You know. And you turn out to be the bad guy. You're the villain. You know, whenever you do that, that's how it works back home. You know, and it's getting worse and worse. We talked about, you know, we discussed this before, how level heads don't prevail anymore. You know, everybody takes up for that guy that's doing wrong. You know, oh, he's this, he's that. You know, instead of looking at what's there. They promote the dude, you know, look at all these guys that are listening to this Hasapa music and they're bebopping around, you know, having these phones and, you know, they should be listening to the Lakota songs, but they don't, you know. Then they're in a big old crowd of, you know, people that are going to sing that. Oh, I like that song. That's cool. You know, I mean, and hear the songs about condemning women, you know. That's me and myself.
Yep.
Look at the way we're going, Tanshi. It's you know, it's not only just smoke, it's everything. You know, it's everything that And that's why I spoke about it before. Pretty soon we're going to be red white men, you know. And it's right here. It's just we're going to walk into it, Hoshi. And I'm telling you the truth. We're going to walk right into that, being red white men. You know, it's sad. You talk about sabotaging, you know, and it's there, you know, but how do we get these guys back to that, see? And it's shit, it's harder than hell. Look at all these people, Tushy, that are playing Wakun. That ain't medicine men. And these real medicine men, they look down. They say things about these guys. You know, it's getting to where, you know, damn, you know, I look at it as these Washitu thinkers are taking over everything. And now, look at all these Washitus at these sun dances. You know, look at all these, you know, they're even having a Washitu sun dance in Oregon. No Indians allowed. You know, this is the stuff that we talk about, see? You know, and that's where we're at now. You have people like up in Minnesota there, oh, they're arguing about how their Sundance, you know. No, that Sundance is a Lakota thing. There's tradition behind that. There's proper protocol to that. You know, yeah, it's good to pray, but it's also good to pay attention to it, see. And a lot of this, the new generation, it's not about that. And you have a lot of these older people that back that. Oh, that's my son. He's doing this. He, you know. And like I told you, they have a lot of people backing them. So when you say something, you're a villain. See? And you're only trying to tell them the truth. But yet, you end up being a villain. You're hated. Because of something you said that's the truth. You know. And that's how we're anymore, we're turning more and more Washitu. And it's right here. You know, it's right around the corner, Tushy. We're you know, look at how it used to be when our grandmas and our mom and them were alive, Tushy. Look at those people. Look at that generation. The respect they had for each other and the things they used to do. How many of these kids now know anything about that? They don't. They have all these degrees hanging on the wall, bragging about how good they are and looking down on that pitiful person down there. All that stuff, that paper hanging on the wall. What are you going to do with that when you die and go in front of Tunkashila? You know, that's the question. And a lot of these guys nowadays, they don't even care about that. That Washitu mentality. And we're getting real close to, I mean, we're going to walk into it, Hashi. And I see it coming. Like I say, we're probably the last generation of Lakota speaking people alive. You know, once we're gone, that's it.
You know, and that's another thing. We have a few out there that speak Lakota, and, you know, and they use it for, like I said, you know, Taloska, I guess I'm saying it right, and Mataska, you know, white meat,
yeah.
And Washitu money, you know. So they use this language, and they use it to go over around the country and say their great-grandson, walk on Tonka. Crazy horse, whatever, you know. And people believe it because they talk Lakota.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So a lot of these guys, they run around and they get that white meat and that money. You know,
yeah.
They're sitting there with women on their laps and all that because they're talking Lakota. And they're over there saying, yeah, the four colors mean the four colors of man. So they're the ones telling the Washitu that that's what Mitaku Yasin means. You know, it means they're included on that. You know, and you know, and same way with other things that they run around and talk about, you know. They say the Spaniards brought the horse. You know, when we have horse songs, when our language is hundreds of thousands of years old, when the words we say like mitakuye oyasu means how old is that word? That word just didn't show up when Columbus came, you know? It came 100,000 years ago when our people, when this country and the bottom country, all the way from what is called Argentina up to Alaska, our people were all one color. Brown hair, brown eyes, you know, all one color. Our babies all looked the same. From down there to up north, we never knew there was some other people. How could we know that? There's big oceans dividing us. We didn't know that. So that word didn't include these turkeys. Or I shouldn't say turkeys because I love turkey meat, you know.
that's some good stuff. Don't go there. What?
Yeah.
Sky chocolate.
Don't ruin that. Yeah, don't ruin that part. But you see, and the same way with the word Tashunkawa, how old is that word? It wasn't made it just because Columbus showed up, you know?
Yeah.
You know? You see, that's common sense. Life is a bunch of common sense, and nobody sees it. I said, you people talk about the cradle civilizations in Africa, and all of you want to go there and believe that. Well, believe it if you want. You can all say you came from there. But I always wonder why Africa is the land of the black man. It's just like over here. It's the land of our people. Africa is the land of them, you know? And it's a black country. But you go 50 miles across Mediterranean and up the other way, and there's blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
So how the hell are you going to tell me you're going to get blonde hair and blue eyes overnight? And you're saying you come from down there? The cradle civil. You see, the white man is all screwed up. Their message to people comes from the Bible. It comes from everything else. But they have no common sense. How could the black man be in Africa and blonde hair, blue eyed be in Europe and it's only 50 miles separated?
Yeah.
Maybe in some place only. What the hell happened there? You know, maybe the Washichu, maybe the Hassafa and Bennett bleached and went over and sprayed all those people, you know? You know? The thing is, they don't think about that. That is common sense, right? Common sense. But they'll come up with some sign, that's a genetic mutation. So they say the Washichu is a genetic mutation. Well, the word mutation sounds pretty bad to me, and I think it fits them pretty damn good. You know? Mutation, Washichu. You know, it fits them pretty damn good.
You know, Kunshi, the Washichu's been trying all kinds of ways to belong somewhere. You know, and they don't, you know, like I always say, they don't belong nowhere. You know, and then they know they're related to the black man somehow because all their DNA goes back to that black man. We don't have that. We never did have that. We know where we come from. We know who we are. And we don't come from a black man. And that's the truth. See? But yet, white man could trace his roots. I mean, his bloodline. Every one of these Washichus, they're linked to the Hassapa somehow. You know? And they know that. They've been telling people that. But they hide it. Because they're ashamed of it. We got nothing to hide. We ain't got nothing to be ashamed of because this is where we're from. All our stories, all our creation stories are from here. They're not from the Middle East. They're not from Spain. They're not from Europe, you know. And like you were saying, that word mitakuye oyasi, I explained that before. Mitakuye oyasi is all the plant and animal life. in the beginning of time. That's who Mitakuye Oyasi is, the Vaman Kashka. And then the white man says, well, what about, you know, no, it doesn't say nothing about the Washitu in Mitakuye Oyasi. So that's, they're trying to include themselves again in something that never existed. That Mitakuye Oyasi,
like
yeah. You know, we're talking about, you know.
These people say the medicine wheel, those four colors of medicine wheel is the four colors of man. What kind of baloney is that? When we all knew that meant the four elements, elements, you know, the rock, the earth.
The wheel of life. You know, that's what it represents.
The water, the earth, the air we breathe in fire, sun. You know, that's what those four colors stand for. But you get people saying, oh, that's the four colors of man. That's the four colors of man. I'm white. I'm in that color. You know? Oh, I'm black. I'm in that wheel. You know?
You know, Percy, that's the truth. You know what I mean?
Well, how come all these Indians around, especially these ones that are born later, say in the 80s and 90s, boy, they're all screwed up. I mean, one of them was saying, yeah, I'm proud to be part Mongolian. That's why I can ride horse good. A Lakota was saying that. I said, you know what? I checked you out, and you are part Oriental, because he is. But he didn't realize that, you know. But he thinks he had slanted eyes because he's part Mongolian. But his bloodline, somebody down there, just like, you know, somebody makes blood down the line, and that family is, you know, part Asian, you know. But, you know, we ain't come from Mongolia. If anybody wants to use common sense and understand the Mongolians, they were people that conquered over there in Asia. If they came over here to this side of the world, this would be Mongolia too, because that's the kind of people they were. But we're not Mongolia, and we don't have none of their words in our language. We don't have one Chinese word or Mongolian word in our language. All their languages over... Yeah, all those languages over there are mixed with something else except ours. You know, ours is the only one not mixed with nothing else. But their language is mixed.
You know, Tunshi, when you look at all these, indigenous tribes in the United States and the so-called this part of the earth, there's always a word somewhere that it sounds just like ours, and it has the same meaning, you know. So if that was the case, how come our words don't exist over there? But yet all these tribes here in the United States and down south, up north, there's always a word in their language that matches ours, and it always has the same meaning. Why is that? And yet all these other people, like Chinese, like you were talking about, Mongolia, none of that, none of those languages have any Lakota words in them. See? But why is that? And these Washitu, that's how confused the Washitu is. He's trying to belong. He's trying to say, oh, I'm from here. He doesn't even know where he belongs. He doesn't even know where he comes from. That's why he had to steal the Bible to create himself. Who is Adam and Eve? You know? How did that come about? And then, like you were saying, blonde hair and blood. Where did that come from? You know, there had to be the Hassa. They come from Hassapas. And they know that, see? And yet they want to say, oh, Mitakuyasi. No, that's not, you know, that, like you were saying, that word's been here for long before the white man ever showed up. And they want to be included, you know, but yet they never included us They always lie about us. They're trying to. They're trying
how
to
about our son?
Phase us up.
How
you
about,
know, they're trying to phase us
how
up.
How about our songs, Tashi? Our songs.
Yeah.
We sing songs that are thousands, thousands of years old. The same words.
Yeah.
I think we're the only people in the world singing songs that
yeah.
old still
yeah.
today. Our kids sing these songs that are 100,000 years old. You know, same
yeah.
words, same melody. You know,
nothing
and,
changed.
I didn't like it when this Iron Cloud kid did a rap song or whatever you want to call it and was using the Sundance song and oh da 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 do, you know. And then
yeah.
people saying, oh, it's time for the youth. We have to look at the youth. Well, you know what? For thousands of years, we've been doing this same thing for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But just because the ghetto people showed up, we got to change for them? Hell no. We got to wake our people
you know,
up. And
you
that's
know, Tushy,
hard to do.
You know, Tushy, that's what I told you. You know, and I always say this, and I'll still say it again. They gave these songs to us a certain way, with certain words. Why are these people trying to change it and say this is the way you have to sing these? No, they gave these, the Tunkashlas gave us these songs a certain way, with certain wording, because it means a certain thing. And who are we to change it and tell the next generation, oh, this is how it is? You can't do that. That's not what it's. These songs come to us this a certain way, and we got to keep them that way. But yet you have all these, like you were saying, you have all these modern so-called wannabe ghetto Lakotas or Indians throwing stuff like that. To me, that's shameful as hell. You know, that's they shouldn't even think about stuff like that. If they want to ghetto, but leave our ways out of it. You know?
Yeah. One thing I'm glad is when I sing those Lakota songs, I sing them the way I learned them a long time ago
yeah.
and the way they came from a long time ago, from older people,
yep.
from a long time ago. And I love the melody. I love the way they sing them. And hell, if I'm going to change that for nothing. And when I sing it, whoever hears me singing it, they're going to have to jump in with me. I'm not going to jump in with them if they start trying to bebop it, you know,
yeah,
start
bebopping
and stuff. I'm out of it, you know.
You know, that's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. Who are we to try to change it and say that's the way it was given to us? No, it wasn't given to us that way. It was given to us. These are thousands, thousands of years old. And they gave them to us because they're sacred songs. But yet, you like you were saying,
yep.
some of these kids, they get it and they try to integrate it in all this BS, you know? Leave that stuff out of it, you know? Now, like I say, if you want to be ghetto, go be ghetto, you know? But leave our culture, leave our stuff out of it. And then all these people saying, oh, that's the modern, you know, heck with that. You know, look at it as for what it is. This is real, you know? And like you said, those songs come thousands and thousands of years old. When we can't change them just because they want to put a rap music together, whatever the hell it's called, you know, that doesn't belong there. Those are given to us in a sacred way. Let's keep them that way. And let's keep going. See, maybe that's what will save the next generation. Who knows? Because those songs are prayer songs. Wojciechia, that's what those are.
Yeah.
They're nothing else. They're Wojciechia.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know that. I know that. And these words that come with this, these words came with those songs. And don't change them. Ask what the word is and adjust to it. If you don't know what the word is, and these new guys ain't doing that. They think that it's said a certain way, then they get stuck with that. If you don't know what the word is, ask one of these Lakotas. They'll tell you what it's saying, what the meaning is. So even that's
hey,
getting changed around.
Remember, we had a a relative, a Apache relative, his name was Biscuit. Remember Biscuit? He sun-matched with us for lots of years.
Yeah.
Biscuit, he is a cool dude. One time I was down in Oklahoma and he had a sweat lodge, you know. And I know he's Apache. Remember, he's Apache's from Geronimo's crew. They moved him to Oklahoma. So he comes from that crew. But he even talks with a southern twang. But I was in the sweat lodge and he's singing Lakota songs. So because he sung that with us. So I was singing there with us. But then he took off in some Apache songs, you know. And I really like that, bro. I really like that because I heard those Apache songs and they didn't sound Chinese either. They didn't sound Mongolian either. You know, all these tribes, their native tongues were unique.
They sound good.
All the people.
You know, think about this. You know, Tonshi, Geronimo sang some of those songs that Biscuit was singing, you know what I mean? Those songs come from those people, see? And that's what I'm saying. They're original, you know? And keep it that way, you know? Don't change it.
And, you know, like sometimes we sing Shoshone songs, Crow songs. We even sing some Navajo songs, remember? And I enjoy singing them. You know, I said, man, this is cool, you know? I enjoy them because they're indigenous. They're our people, our relatives. Songs, you know.
See, don't you? And the thing about it is, before we sing those songs, we ask permission. These people, we ask them. It's not like we go and do it ourselves. No, we don't do that. And they tell us to sing them a certain way. That's how we sing them.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been to Hopi res and been to ceremonies in different tribes. I never go in there and try to impose. You know, I sit there humble and follow along what's going on, you know. Even I went to Sweat Lodge down in Utah. See, I went in there and I was kind of all nervous and crawled in there. And here they took off in Lakota songs. So I said, this is cool, you know, I respect every tribe, and I'm honored today as we speak right now. And I hope every one of them tribes, even the Mexican tribes, I hope they find their way because they're struggling. They're trying to Google who the hell they are. And where did Google come out of? Wasichu. You know, all the information, the Wasichu feeds you all this information, you know. And then they switch it up, man. You know, every legend, every myth, everything you find on Google is behind the Wasichu. And they always switch it up, you know.
It's their truth, Kushi. That's what it is. You know, I always read some of these things they post, like, about Indians, about Lakota people and stuff. A lot of that. Some of that stuff I disagree with, you know, because of what was put in there. And it's this Wasichu dude that's imposing something that he wants in there, see? And that's the thing with a lot of this Google search that you're talking about. It's watered down, you know, and it's made to seem like the Wasichu's cool, you know? And that's not what it is.
Yeah. You know? I always hear these Mexican dudes arguing with each other and they about their indigenous culture down in Mexico. They try to change stuff up and all that with each other, tell each other how it's supposed to be. And they argue and they say, bro, brother, or carnal, you need to do your research, and say you're not doing your research, and say you need to take it out, and say, you know, and they're talking, you know, and they're talking about Google, they're talking about all that, you know.
Tú eres pendejo, ese. You got to do your research, ese. You know? And,
yeah.
And I say, damn, you know, why don't they? What the hell happened? Because I remember my ex, her grandma was from down Sonora. She was Yaqui.
Yeah.
And I remember those people were real Indians, real natives.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
had their own language. And some of them still exist today. You know, they still exist today. So
yeah.
The thing is, the ones like that, they can follow their bloodline back. Some of them got so disconnected, their families turned into so much Catholic and so much ashamed of being Indian because the Spaniards beat them to death.
Yeah.
The Spaniards were brutal. The Catholic priests were brutal. The nuns were
yeah.
brutal. And it shows when you see how they fight with each other, they argue with each other, and they kill each other. When a real native ain't supposed to kill each other, that's the last thing you do is draw blood from each other. But they do it, you know, and they need to find their way. And it's a shame that they do that. You know, I hate to see our people, you know, fighting like this, even our people. But like I said, these guys, they all want to get off in their research. The best thing to do is stay connected to your bloodline and you have no problems. I have no problem with my bloodline. Because I know both sides of my family, my grandpa's family, all the way back at least to close to 1700s, you know. I mean, from the word of mouth, you know, from what my mom told me, what my grandma told me, and what their grandma told them, and they passed it. And that's how, at least, Lakotas, we can go back that far. When some of these people don't even know who their damn grandpa is. They don't even know who their grandma is. You know? I mean, I feel bad for people like, remember that? What was that quarterback's name for the Oakland Raiders? Remember him, Larry? That he was an Indian, too.
Plunkett.
Trying to think of his name.
Plunkett.
Yeah.
Plunkett.
Plunkett. And
Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett, that guy. They wouldn't even put him in the Hall of Fame, you know. So racist, and he deserved it, but how is it? That guy, his grandma, he come from Indian blood.
Yeah.
You know? But even him was having trouble. You know, he leaned more to the Spaniard side, to the, what do you call that? But he did admit and was proud of this indigenous side of him, you know? You know, I like that. You need to acknowledge something in yourself. I mean, be proud of both sides of who you are, you know? I mean, I have mixed blood children, and I don't want them like, my daughter speaking Russian, my other son speaking German, and I don't want them to lose that. You know, I mean, I don't want them to lose it. I tell them, you keep that going for them, you know, and I'm not ashamed of it. And because we need to be proud of who we are and where we come from, and we need to stay connected. I look on Facebook and I seen some people with last names like mine and stuff. Don't even know who the hell they are because they're not connected. They only come knocking on your door if you're a rock star or if you're a movie star or if they seen you in a movie or something or if they think you hit the lotto, you know. They don't come to knocking on our doors the way we are right now, you know. You know, they don't do that. I see all these relatives. They don't come knocking on my door. They're ashamed of me because you know, because I live on the res, or maybe because I don't live so good like they live, you know. But, you know, I don't care. But they're the ones got a problem, not me, because I know I'm grounded. We're grounded. You know, our family is together, you know. We know where we come from, even, you know, even though some of us are scattered, we know where we come from. And, but a lot of these other groups, ethnic groups, tribes, they lost, like some tribes don't even know their language. You know that? I mean,
yep.
There's some tribes that have no language no more. And they're,
yeah.
You know, they jump in with the Washichu and they say, hey, speak English.
Yeah.
You know, I never tell someone speak English. When I go someplace else, and I've been around different countries, and when they're talking their language, I don't tell them, hey, speak English. They'll tell me, get the F out of here. You know? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't tell people to what to speak, but I am proud of the Lakota. You know, I am proud of my side. And even though, like I said, I have children that speak another language, they still know Lakota side, and they still sing Lakota songs, you know, and they still, they only identify with Lakota, you know, and I'm proud of that, even though, but I don't want them to forget who their other side is. I'm not going to wash that out of them, because I want them to have pride of who they are, you know. But I am proud, you know. Like one kid in San Francisco, we were in the circle, and everybody had to tell what tribe they were. We were in the circle holding hands. Yeah, when they get to you, I'm Lakota or I'm Apache from here, and blah, blah, blah. They asked the little boy when they got to him, he said, yeah, I'm Lakota, and whatever she is, and he pointed to his mom. She's a white lady. Man, everybody laughed. They all laughed, you know. And the mother looked all ashamed, but, you know, I felt sorry for her because she was proud enough to bring her kid to because she knew her kid was Lakota. She brought him to a powwow, you know.
You know, speaking of that, they asked my oldest daughter one time at school, you know, what she was. You know, and she said, well, I'm a sumo. She said, you know, Sue and Pomo, you know, that, you know, that's what they used to tell her. But she said she was a sumo at school. You know,
a sumo.
She put both of them together, you know. I'm a sumo, she told her class. You know? But, you know, that's innocence, you know what I mean? These little kids. The way they look at things, the way they see things, you know. But I thought that was pretty cool.
At least she's proud, you know. She's proud, you know.
Heck yeah.
And I like that, you know.
Yeah.
Because,
we got a whole
tribe
of them, huh?
Yeah, you know. And just like in my family, we're mixed. My sister's married other tribes, you know. My one sister, she says, I'm not Lakota no more. I'm Wallapai.
You know, Wallapai.
Yeah, she's Wallapai. One time, we're down there, and these Lakota kids are making fun of my little nephew, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, they're calling me the N-word. You know, they're calling me the N-word." And I told him, "Hey, you quit calling them that. Bad enough, he's Wallapai." You know? Really laughing, you know. And Dad was looking at me, you know. I said, oh, don't be calling him that N-word. Bad enough, he'd wallop by it, you know. But still, you know, I was just teasing him, you know. But you know, Indians, we can joke like that with each other, you know. And it's just like us. We have Oglala, Chichon, Hu jokes, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's always going. You know, it's always been way back in the day. Even Sand River, all these other, you know.
Yeah.
Same stuff, you know.
Said,
How come these old growlers are walking around Walmart with their pants down to their knees? Said because there's a sign said pants half off. Pants half off. So these old guys drop their pants to the half off, you know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of shit like that.
I said, I heard a little growl said, those rosebudders died because they were back in the pickup. They flew into the river and they didn't know how to open the tailgate. So they drowned.
Now, there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of jokes like that going back and forth, you know what I mean? Pretty cool.
That's the thing.
There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of humor in the Lakota way. You know, no matter where you're from, Rosebud, Sand River, there's a lot of humor, you know.
What cracks me up is how the outside says, oh, you guys were savages way before we came here, and they talk like that. But you look at our character. Look at our character, common sense. Like I was in a motel down in Iowa one day, and I went down for breakfast. That breakfast, what do they call it? I went down there for breakfast in the motel. Continental breakfast. So I went down there. I was sitting in there, and some other Indians walked in, and they looked, and they seen me sitting over there. So pretty soon, they came around and sat around where I was at. And then they said, the guy said, oh, where are you from? You know, next thing we start talking, then some other Indian showed up. Pretty soon, about three different families of Indians, we were all sitting in one side of the continental breakfast. A little while later, all you could hear was laughing and joking going on in that one side of these little teachers, and everybody was walking in all grouchy looking. These Indians were sitting there all happy. And we all, even though we were from different tribes, we all knew somebody from each other's tribes, you know. Yeah. So that's how we are. It's our character will explain a lot. And when when these young people say, oh, we were natural enemies to the Ojibwe or to the Crow, we weren't natural enemies to them.
No.
We were Kolas and relatives of Tala Washichu came. When he came, he's the one split us up. He's the one got Chief Joseph and his crew to come join in to help hunt Lakota down. He's the one got Crow to join Hal Custer. He's the one, you know. Before they came, we wasn't like that. We're relatives. We would inbred with each other. We were related to each other.
Yep.
Sometimes even spoke each other's language, you know. That's a bunch of baloney when people say, oh, well, we are common enemies. No, that never happened. Our natural character, when we see each other, is to hang out with each other, you know, like we did in a motel. You go to Golden Corral, all the Indians start gathering up in one corner, you know.
That's how we are.
Or you go to an airport, and you're in the airport, and all kinds of people pass by. Pretty soon an Indian passes by and sees you sitting there. Then he circles back, and then pretty soon he comes sit down a few seats away, and then next thing he's going, hey, where are you from, bro? You know, next thing you're talking, you know, because you got that relationship of that relative relationship, even though he's from another tribe. You identify. We're family. And the Washichi wants to tear that up. Oh, you guys were savages before we came. That's bullshit. You know, before they came, there was no hunger. We all got along. We shared. We had different ways of life. Some like fish, some like buffalo, some like corn, and some like to wear this, some like to wear that. We all shared it and traded, you know. You know, if we went over to the West Coast or whatever, we'd go over there and you know, share fish with them or whatever, you know, or go down south. Like when I go down there, they feed me mutton all the time, you know. I enjoy going to other tribes and eating their food, you know, and listening to them, especially when some of them still have their language, you know. It's really good. I was in New York, Seneca. Remember Tom Red Eye? I was up there at Israel's, and just the older people still talked their language. I told Tom, "You guys still speak your language here?" He said, "Yeah, the old people, young people don't." I said, "Wow, man, too bad you can't hang on to it, you know." It's pretty rough that tribes losing their language, you know. Everybody, I mean, we can speak English. We can speak English all day. We can learn some big words all day long. But why don't we take time out to learn a Lakota word? Like how you teach us words, Tanshi, you know, like telling us words. Sometimes I learn words, and I haven't heard them from a long time. I only heard them like from grandma or from the old people. You know, like you said, there's even a modern Lakota and an older Lakota. And me and my brother there, we were raised around the older Lakota people. So when we went to California and kind of lost our language and stuff, and then we come back to our people again, and they ain't speaking the old language, so we're kind of saying, what the hell? You know what I mean? We're used to the old language, and here they got a newer language going on here, you know, but it's still Lakota, you know. It kind of trips you out, you know. You have to gather, you know, like the older Lakota was more pure, you know. And remember, Grandma, that's why Spirits named the radio station, remember, the Voice of the Lakota Nation? And they didn't know how to describe a radio station to the spirits when they went and had the ceremony for Kili Radio, and the spirits came. They were from the old way. They didn't understand about a radio, but then it came out with, it's a voice, the voice of the Lakota Nation, you know. And
you know, that's, you know, this radio, like the way the, in other words, you broadcast without a cord, you know, the like these cords plugged into the wall and stuff, you know, it's the airways. Speaking with no handle.
That's how she described it.
They understood it then.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I always say invasive species. I've been saying that for a couple of years, a few years, and nobody ever looks at it. But now I'm starting to see that word pop out. I haven't seen a post or someone using invasive species. I say, right on, because that's what they are, invasive species. You know, we need to all understand that. So we all need to learn something from the past and bring it to the present and teach our younger people this is how it needs to be. Some will learn it and some won't learn it. You know, like now in Navajo Nation, our Hopi, they call it the voice of the radio station, the voice of the Hopi Nation. So they copied us, you know, the voice of the Lakota Nation. And I have no problem with that. You know, I like it when people are learning something, you know, when they learn something, you know, like a lot of other tribes use our language, you know, and I see it. I don't get now easy. I just say, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, they're over there. They say, you know, or they use words, Lakota words, different tribes, way off someplace else. And I'm glad that our language is being spread some kind of way, you know.
I mean, look at, even in the, you go around the country, they're naming their kids, white people are naming their kids Dakota, Winona, yeah. Cheyenne. They're giving their kids Indian names, you know, the Washichu is. Remember, Marlon Brando, he has a daughter named Cheyenne, right? Or something like that.
Samana, Samana, all those good words.
Samana. I remember my dad was calling me that, you know, and I thought it was a cool Indian name.
Remember that, Larry?
That's why Larry always teases me. He always teases me when he calls, when he talks to me. He says they stink, you know, because you know my dad used to call me that when I was a baby, you know. So when I got older, they would be called. And Larry's cold blooded, man. I'm over there in LA, standing with a bunch of Mexican chicks, you know, really chest out, looking cool, you know, talking, and he comes walking up and he says, "Hey, stink. They want you at the house." I'm giving them dirty looks. These girls are looking at I'm trying to act like I don't hear him, and he says, "Hey, stink." But he's the only one that gets away with it, you know. He's my brother, my big brother, so I get away with that, you know. Samana.
All those chicks, you know.
He's the only one to get away with that, and here I am. I'm supposed to be a gangster, don't you know? Don't be calling me my name in front of these Chicanas here, you know. These fine Chicanas. Don't be calling me my name in front of these fine Chicanas, you know. That's an in-house name now. I went to the big house now, so don't call me Stink no more, you know. But when no one's around, he says, "Hey, Stink, they're calling you." I just react, you know, go, you know, no big problem. "Hey, Stink, go over there. Mom's calling. Hey, Stink, mom's calling." "Okay, just run over there, you know." But he got to do it when I'm standing in front of these Chicana chicks, you know. You know, a lot of. And now, I tell you what, this is a good point tonight. Because we're going to find out how many listeners we have, because people are going to, when people start calling me Stink, you know, I'll know there how many listeners we have tonight, you know. So, we'll see, you know.
You know, hey, Tanshi, back in the day, you know, it wasn't too long ago, you know, one of my grandpas, his name was Sphinxer, you know, Tonzo Saka, you know, Yeah, they had names like that, you know. There's a guy named Stink Gut too, you know, and all kinds of names that the guys had back in the day. They were Wolf Guts. I mean, think about that. They were proud of those names, man. They were good names, you know.
Yeah.
There was nothing bad about them, you know.
That was my name, Wolf
Guts. You know, and nowadays these guys want all these fancy names and stuff, you know, but. You know, when you think about it, all those old names, like even now, you look at some of these names that used to exist not too long ago are disappearing, you know. a lot of these kids are starting to go by different,
just like
Washita, no meaning names, you know?
Just like the name Swallow, there's different reasons why their name Swallow. And one of them, grandpa said Swallow, there was a family called Swallow the Guts.
Yeah.
You know, Swallow the Guts, you know, while I was in Lakota. But they just cut off the guts part, Swallow. You know, they just cut off the gut parts and call it Swallow, you know. So it's like that. But some guy asked, do we have any information about the Oneida people, the people with upright stone or standing stone, you know. And I have Phillips, and I don't know who else. I turned another guy on, and he took off that Wayne, you know. But I guess I was talking too much shit. Anyway, I had some people turned on, and you guys are on a man. You know what? What's that song? You know, I really turn you on. But
there you go.
I got Philip and that Wayne. If any of you guys know anything about Oneida people,
Oneidas,
the people up right now. I myself, all I know is I met people. To answer that question, I met people from Oneida, the Oneida people. I mean, as quiet as it kept, I'm not sure, but Joanne Shenandoah and them, you know, people from the music business. You know, but I even been through that res. They have a res. Wait, hold on, let me fix this. I even been through the res up there, but as far as never got to know them, and I don't know any people, but Philip or Wayne, you guys are from more east than us, you know, if you guys know anything. Philip or Wayne, Oneida people.
Yeah, I'm here. I know some Oneida people.
Well, someone's just knowing. Do they have any information about them? I don't have information. I know people, but that ain't information. You know, so
well, what kind of information are you looking for? I mean,
hey, don't make fun now. Somebody's asking. Yeah, but you're laughing and asking. Do you have any info?
Wait,
hold on, Philip. Do you have any info about the Oneida people? That's good enough for me. Any info any info. A-N-Y means any info, right?
Well, I know that they're part of the Haudenosaunee. Their main territories are up in New York, their original homelands. I know that when they were removed, they split into three different bands. One actually stayed in New York. One went up to Thames River, and the other one went to Green Bay area, where the Menominee had given them land to settle on.
There you go. Now that's information. See, I didn't even know that. And
I know their creation
really,
story.
Oh, well, let's have it.
Oh, wow. I don't remember names or anything, but I know it. Roughly it breaks down to the creator's daughter was falling to earth, and it took 7 days for the creatures on earth to create a piece of land for her to land on. That's where they get the term Turtle Island. because several different animals went down to the bottom of the ocean and pulled up mud and, or tried to, and the otter was the only one that was able to, and put mud on the back of a turtle, and that's where she landed.
Now that's information. You see, I appreciate that, and I know. I hope he. I'm glad. I knew one of you guys would know something, you know. And he said, any information. He didn't.
Well,
have to
I
say
know
what
some
kind
because I dated an Oneida, so I was. We were getting the Galloway Sox newspaper from Green Bay. I know her mother or her grandmother was a Turtle Clan mother. Actual clan mother. She had outlived all of her husbands. Matoxins, Doxinators, and Skenendors were all, you know, part of her family. So
you rascal, you. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad. I knew you could have some UR Wayne because you guys are from that way, and, you know. But like I said, I met some Oneida people, but I don't know nothing about it, you know. But I would welcome any tribe, Oneida or anybody, to come here and be recognized. Come here, you know, that's what we're here for. Come here and be recognized. Call in, be recognized. You know. Talk about your people.
A little unknown fact that people don't realize, too, is the Oneida chief up there in Wisconsin, Chief Hugh Danforth, used to come until his health started getting bad. He used to come to the opening day demonstrations with us. He actually went back to Green Bay and started a program with the youth over the abolishment of the mascots. Long before Ray Halberter started his fight against it. Long before Ray Halberter was even in the position that he was in.
Wow. You know, like I said, you know, people, this show here, or the one we talk about, of course, me and Rimber are here, and we always, you know, and I'm proud, you know, because Rimber, you know, he helps us out, and he's important to our culture because he still got the culture intact within him, you know, and us, it kind of broke away from us, you know. But, you know, we came back, me and my brother, all of us, we sung that. We relearned the songs, and the songs also help you relearn the language. If you know the songs, you can start relearning the language because all our major words, especially like when Tussie. Yeah, well, like we're talking about, we chose on thee, we'll check you out.
I always tell people that.
Yeah.
You learn the songs, you say the words, sing the words, get the meaning of the words. You could put a prayer together really easy. I mean,
yeah.
By listening, singing those songs, the words. Learn what those words mean, because it's really important. These songs are really important to the Lakota people, any culture. When you really look at it, songs played a big role in ceremonies, gatherings, anything that was done. Song was involved because they were prayer. And a lot of these tribes are similar to that.
Like these words, you hear in songs a lot. You hear Tonshi praying, and the words like Makaki Jelo, you know, Makaki Jelo, you know, it talks about how
how we really, you know, it's really hard. We're having a hard time, you know. And, you know, we're always saying, you know, like you hear songs, Omakiyo, and words
yeah.
like that. You learn these from these songs. And like Tanshi said, you can put a prayer together. You know, so I'm starting to sing a song. I was just thinking, and I don't want to do that, but anyway, you know, it should learn their songs, and they can relearn their language. Like I said, Biscuit was singing songs, Apache songs. And when you sing your own tribal songs, you relearn your language. And people need to dig in. And they ain't going to have these songs on Google, I tell you that much. You're not going to be able to find this on Google. To tell the truth, we always tell people, if you want to come to Sundance and learn stuff, come to the res. Come back home and learn. Well, I tell people that if you want to learn your culture, ese, go to your homeland down in Mexico, where pinpoint where you think you come from, and go there and learn. Don't stay up here in California or Texas, New Mexico, and be Googling all this stuff. Just get your ass in a car and go down there and find out where you come from. And learn something. That's the only way. Ain't that right, Tanshi? If you want to learn more Lakota, come home. Come around.
Yeah,
start being around your people. Quit
you
rubbing
know,
shoulders with other people.
You know,
I can tell who you rub your...
You know, this like I was saying, the language. If you know how to sing these songs, you could take a word from one song and learn these words from one song and then another song and get the meaning of them and what it means. Like you were saying, you know, Makaki Jelo, you know, Umashike, you know, just those two words. That's a complete prayer in itself, see? And you could take three different songs and learn three different words from one word from each song. And you could, you know, get the meaning of them, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You guys say them, you pronounce them, you sing them, but all you got to do is catch the meaning of them. Ask the meaning. What does this one word mean? And it's simple, because you're singing them already. You're speaking Lakota when you sing these songs, but you don't think you are. See, that's the problem. You have that Washitu block in your head. See? But
right. When you hear that, it sounds like you're chanting, but that's a word.
It's
an expression of throwing your voice out, you know? And, you know, there's so much to learn from these songs.
Ushia hoye waielo. That in itself, Kushi, that's a whole prayer, see?
Yeah.
Ushia, in a pitiful way, I'm throwing my voice out there to you, see? That in itself is, like I say, those words, the meanings behind them, they're pretty deep. It's the Lakota language or any traditional language is real deep and meaningful, see? And that's why I say...
Well,
you guys sing those songs, and you guys are praying, you know. And if you apply that to everyday living, and you think about this, if you sing those songs and you can't, even one word, get the meaning of it, learn it, and then another one, and then pretty soon you have five words together. You're well on your way then, you know, because a lot of times. It's context. It's how you use that word. One word used in a little different way has a totally different meaning. So it's not a complex language, but we think Washitu, in these traditional languages, that's why we complicate it. See, we got to get rid of that Washita mentality. Shit, you guys know how to speak. You guys know those songs. That's what I always tell people. Those songs are present.
And that's why when you pray in Lakota, she like on the show when you pray, you know, people pick up and fill up in them. They're not Lakotas, but they will hear you talk about
the words,
they will hear you say Wakayansha. They will hear you saying words like Uchila, and Makaki,
older people. See, they know the meanings, and they know what you're praying about, and they know what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I say we never leave people out. We include people. That's what it is. And so the Lakota language is a powerful language, and simple words, you know, have a lot of meaning. It's how you use it, you know. And like I say, you know those songs. You know, what keeps you from speaking Lakota when you could sing those songs? How come you're not speaking them, you know? That's the thing I always ask these people. You know them. Why don't you apply them? That's how you learn. That's how you get ahead, see? And eventually, you'll be speaking it, see, because you applied them.
When you learn a word, like I learn a word, like if you show me a word or explain a word to me, teach my daughter this word.
Yeah.
As I'm teaching her that word, I'm learning more about the word.
I'm telling you, man, it's how you use a word that paints a whole picture.
Yeah.
It's the context. The picture that you paint with just simple words, turning the word, changing it a little bit because of the meaning, it changes the whole picture, just a little shift here.
Yeah.
So there's a, man, it's not complicated. It's so easy that our minds go right past it, you know, and that's the Lakota language.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful language. And you know, that's why I always say the English language is a bastard language because, man, that's what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakota language isn't like that. That's why I say if you could sing a Lakota song, a full Lakota song, you shouldn't have no problem understanding when there's a Lakota speaking. You should have no problem because you know that song and you know the meaning of it. All you got to do is apply that. A lot of these guys that sing these songs and stuff, they don't think like that, see? They think it's a song. They think it's one of these raps. No, these songs are thousands and thousands of years old, you know? And that's how they were given to us. That's why I say, me, myself, I don't want to change the wording or anything to these songs. I'll give it to the next generation the way it was given to me, exactly the way it was given to me, because that's thousands and thousands of years old. And who am I to change that when my Tunkashlas gave it to us like this? You know? And that's how it should be. You shouldn't try to change it with rap music or, you know, hell with that stuff. You know, that's keep the ghetto stuff in the ghetto, you know. Keep Lakota original, you know, the way it belongs. And that's where we're falling short now. This next generation that's coming up, we're giving them too much leeway. You know, when we was growing up, like Larry here, you know, when he says growing up, he said, I thought my name was Nugewanich, you know. He knows what that word means, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know what it means. You see what I'm saying? But just think of how they raised us. And this generation that's coming up, you know. Look at all the, like you said, there's a grandma that has a pierced nose and blonde hair. And, oh, that's my grandma. Don't say that to him because that's my, you know. That's how it is. Long ago, our uncles, our grandfathers, our aunts, they were all our moms and fathers. So they had every right to correct us. And there was nothing we could say or do to our parents because they were our parents at the time. So we couldn't run to our mothers and fathers and complain to them because it was taken care of here by your other mother and fathers, you know. And they told their parents, you know, and the parents would felt good about it because they had another mother and father over here that corrected you. See, they didn't let you get by with nothing. That's gone now, Tanshi, and that's what it is today, see?
Sure. You know, I feel bad for a lot of our young people. They're just drifting on down the other way. Yeah. They're like in the ocean on a little piece of wood floating out to sea, and that's it, you know? And when, you know, they actually think they're American and they actually, you know, think in Christian ways, they actually think, you know, and these kind of people, sometimes I give AIM credit for drawing these people back, you know, and I like to see more of them coming back, but I don't want to see them coming back holding hands with the cop. You know, I don't want to see them coming back, skipping down the road, singing some rap song. You know, I don't want to see them coming down the road, you know, in some kind of suit and some little blonde patch on the front of the hairdo. And then say, yeah, I'm not Kota, man, you know. You know, I don't want to see that. They need to find out themselves who they are, what they are. Look in the mirror, damn it, you know. I'm not telling you grow your hair. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just saying, where's your heart at, you know? Don't come over here trying to impress me with some tight-ass jeans and brandy white tennis shoes, you know, and something like that, and a fancy-ass watch. You know, what I like to see is our people, you know, getting their, I don't know, but, you know, we're running out of, getting close to some time here, but, I wanted to hear Jennifer at least say one or two things. You know, she's a Lakota woman. And she's, you know, and it's an honor to have Lakota women hanging in there with us, you know, because we're hanging in there with them, you know. And so Jennifer.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
When Vibber was talking about, you know, the keeping these songs the original way, and that to me is something that should be emphasized, how sacred that we've actually obtained these songs in the first place. And I've even been on the hill myself when I've heard a spirit in the canyon singing. So people, when they suffer up on the vision quest or somewhere, they go without food and water. It's just not something that we just wake up and we're given these directly from a spirit. And I've heard one sing like that and give us a song. And even my stepmom in one of those songs are being sung in all the Sundances now because of how she heard it like that. And so I always, you know, it's not like hymns in the church where they make up all these silly little songs and praising God in that way, but I do know that how spiritual, how deep our songs are, that are like a command. And it's very beautiful. when you really can translate the words of the songs. And, you know, so often when I see people pierce and you hear the piercing song and understand what the people are praying for, it really can touch a heart, and it's really beautiful. And sometimes I shed a lot of tears just because of the way that the song is and how sincere I see the person really wanting to see their prayer manifest, because that's how powerful those songs are. And I just wanted to add that little bit in.
Well, you know what? You brought up a good point about, you know, we're talking about keeping these songs the same, you know, from a long time ago. And you know what? I realized something, and you brought it to my attention right now, that it's easy. One time, me and my bro, he used to always go on top of the Black Hills. We're in the halfway house. He'd go up there and feed the spirits, and I'd go with him. We were going up the hill, me and him, and we heard an old man singing. You know, I heard this song, right? And we heard it. And it was sung by an old guy, no one around, just me and him. And I told him, I said, hey, bro, did you hear that? And he said, did you hear what? He wanted to see if I really did hear it. And I said, someone was singing. He said, what were they singing? And I sang part of that song, what I heard. And he said, wow. He said, you heard that? I heard it too. You see, the point, what I'm saying is, whoever sang that song wasn't me and him. And we were up there and no one else was around. But we were on there on a prayer mission. And we heard this. And I believe the spirits were singing a song. And they were singing it exactly the way, now that I know that song, exactly the way I learned it later. I didn't know the song when I heard it. I just imitated it to my bro. You see, so when we're on missions, the spirits will bring these songs back to us the way they're meant to be sang. And that's why, you know, I like it when other people like you mention that. Because if I say that, oh, man, that guy's a liar. He's not just a liar. He's a lore, you know. But we air these songs. I mean, Tashi, how many times when you were on Humbletcher, you hear spirits singing to you the songs? And they're not throwing them. Oh, anyway, well, sometimes when you're on Humbletcher up there praying, you hear these songs. Nobody's up there, just you. And they ain't singing them like rap or hip-hop. They're singing them the way you're supposed to know them. You know? And who gets a chance to hear this? You do. We do. We all do if we live this way. If we sacrifice all these Washichu ways and give in to our way of life, walk on taka, brings the spirits to us, and they sing songs to you. You know, singing songs to us is the best way they get our attention. A lot of times, if you hear a voice, you say, wow, who's talking? You know? But if you hear a song, you say, wow. You know, and they're singing the song. You get interested in it. When you hear voices, you might even get paranoid. You know, what the hell, you know? But the spirits sing songs to you. You know,
And I appreciate that. And that's why I'm happy you came in and said that, because you always bring up things that are, you know, interesting to me, because it's a fact. The spirits bring us. They come. They give us messages. They talk to us. But the only way you're going to be able to be privileged to hear this is if you're into it. If you're connected with it. Hey, Toshi. Real quick, Toshi. I hope you're still. How many times have you been on out praying alone by yourself, and they sing and you hear songs sang to you?
You know, that's a pretty good question, because quite a few times, you know.
Yeah.
And when you hear these
songs, Toshi, how are they sung? They're sung the way you know them.
Yeah.
They don't come hip-hop and bebopping in with them. That's the way they want us to know these songs.
Yeah.
When the spirit,
one time the spirits
grabbed my drum from me in a ceremony and started beating it. That's how they wanted to beat, and they gave me the drum back.
Yeah.
I mean, they took it from me, I mean, out of my hand, and started hitting this drum, and sparks were flying, and they were hitting it in the beat. And I said, oh, you know, they gave it back to me, so I picked up that beat, and I didn't forget it.
Yeah, you know,
the most perfect beat.
Those Tunkashlas, when they beat that drum, they beat that drum. They make that drum sound. And a lot of people don't think about that, see? There's a certain way they want it. And that's the way you got to give it to them. And that's time and time and time again. It's not just that one time. That's how they want it from you, see? And that's what they showed, see? These are things, like you were saying, how did they sing these songs? Exactly the way we learned them. And there was nothing changed. It was the way that we sing them is how they sung them to us, see? So nothing changed. It was original. You know? And that's why I say, who are we to try to, you know, throw this and that in there and trying to fancy it up? And, you know, they gave it to us one way, a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how we should give it to the next generation coming.
Well, yeah.
Nothing, no additives, nothing subtracted. Exactly the way it was given to us. See.
And when that spirit sang that song to us, like me and Bob, when we were going up the Black Hills, when he sang that song and we heard it.
Yeah.
I can imagine that the spirit who sang that song wasn't born in 1960. He come from 100,000 years ago.
Yep.
So that made me realize how old these songs are.
Yep.
If these spirits are singing songs, if you hear a song from a spirit, it must be a million years old, a billion years old.
Yeah. Easily, easily.
So who are we to say, oh, let's change it to a hip hop song?
That's
I don't know why you're doing that.
If you wanna go with hip hop or whatever, go their way. But leave the Lakota way original, you know. Don't mess with that, you know. Use whatever it is that you want to be over there. Keep that over there, you know. Leave Lakota alone. Give it to the next generation the way it was given to us. Don't change nothing. And don't try to be something because of this, because that's not how it works, you know. These guys are,
you know,
are going up deep in.
We're
going
to have to cut it. We're going to have to cut it right now. Philip, got any quick word? Real quick now. We overboard
you. A really good show, and I'm glad I tuned in to listen.
And Wayne, you got anything?
Yeah, it's been a good show, man. Thank you.
Well, I hope some people are picking up on things of Tahashi Wimber says, because they're real important, you know, and you're blessed to hear this, man. You know, Ikewi Chasa. And I'm proud that my brother and him, you know, these are old guys' name, you know, they didn't just show up. I mean, how Wimber, how old is he? He's 90 years old.
There
my bro's 100. My bro's 150. You know.
There you go.
You know. Anyway, go Tahashi. We gotta go. So you take over. Okay.
Oh. All right. Let's say a quick prayer and we'll get done. What? Who cash lucky? Control what the mong luck on. I pay on kigu dish nupun control cash lucky. I will pull a ton kayongiche.
With that, you know, we're going to have to take off, everybody. And I hope you come back next week and stay tuned again, okay? Don't stop.
You know, your son should die at all.
Thank you. Vecsikor. Én a Toxopetrológiai Jüskén, aki van kicsikrakoktól.